Welcome to Get This Shit, the bi-monthly podcast that answers the questions you've always had, but forgot to ask. Prepare your earballs.
Why, hello, and welcome to another episode of Get This Shit. My name is Cassie, I'm your host, and today I'm joined by, you're here with me, through everything, anything, Sam.
What's up? He had it coming. He had it coming.
Man, it's stuck in there, isn't it?
Oh, yeah.
You bored thing.
He only had himself to blame.
Sam's echolalia is getting him today.
A little self-stimmy. Leave
little
me alone.
A little bit. Same. You trigger me, and then sometimes the loop is almost infinite.
Yeah.
Till one of us breaks it.
Yeah, I think the only one that I ever was like, hey, man, you need to find like another thing, because I'm
about here.
Yeah, I'm about up to my eyeballs. Was the chicken wing song?
Yeah, yeah.
Chicken wing. It was like 2 weeks.
Yeah, I sang it when I cooked, and you I did anything.
You sung it after you sneezed. Like it didn't.
Chicken sneeze.
Right? It didn't have to fucking make sense. It was just any time there was a break in silence that was too long for your brain to be happy. It was chicken wing.
I'm sorry. She broke.
Shut up, eat your brownie. Like, that's what I...
I love you. I love you. That's a good one. That's great. Well, how have you been?
Awful.
Well, sorry.
No, I'm fine.
This podcast isn't about that. I am not here to help.
That's funny.
I'm not.
Yeah, been good.
Good.
Working, you know.
Yeah.
Just like everybody else in the world.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, no kidding. We attended a drawing class
here
recently. I have never, anything that I've like ever tried to draw from like my brain to paper has never worked out. Like, it's never translated. Mm-hmm. But this teacher, Mandy, she was so much fun and really good and very encouraging and helped me make some of my imperfections, we'll call it. Some of the imperfections in my little anime drawing into a quirk. Like, she helped me,
character
like,
features.
Yeah, yeah, work it in. So,
yeah, it's kind of like,
nice. We'll have to put our pictures up.
Yeah, we totally will. Yeah, it's kind of like what they talk about, like, whether it's an author or an artist or whatever. Sorry, an artist of visual media. How they talk about sometimes the character or subject, like, reveals themselves as
the process
goes along. I think that's one of the ways that happens is you're like, oh, well.
Literally. Mm-hmm. I drew one perfect eyebrow. It was great. And then the other one, squiggly everywhere. She helped me make that into something. It was real nice.
She's super cute.
Thanks. We plan on finishing them and coloring them and whatnot. But it was really fun to do something that I don't normally participate in.
Yeah.
Because I'm bad at it.
I was glad to watch you be patient with yourself with something that you weren't. Cassie's a very quick study and is very good at picking up on things and therefore gets very frustrated with herself when she's trying to do something fun, but she doesn't feel like she's good at it.
Yeah.
Her brain ends up taking the fun out of it because she feels like she should be good at it.
Yes. I've tried this. I'm not good at it. What the fuck's going on?
So it was really fun. Part of the fun for me was watching you enjoy the process even when you made a tiny, not mistake, because as Bob Ross says, there are no mistakes or happy little accidents.
Yeah, I couldn't get eyes or eyebrows parallel, so you know what, we just worked with it.
Yeah,
thanks. It was a lot of fun. We went with my dad, which was really cool.
Mm-hmm.
And like all three of us ended up with very distinct
very different styles of characters, very different types of characters as well.
Yeah, you guys will see it. We'll put it up and then it'll be fun. It's cute.
Yeah.
But so that was the out of the comfort zone thing. That was fun. I went and visited Katie in Nashville.
Yep.
That was great. We had wonderful food.
Sorry. No,
did
I
not
know.
Sound like it.
It did not sound like it, but I could see your face, and I know you.
No, it was great.
That's just as bad. You're like, no, it's great. I can tell you from what she described at the weekend, she had a fantastic time, regardless of what her tone implies.
I don't know.
From here on, you can't keep trying. Like, if it's just gonna
sound less
now
and less
that you
sincere.
Heard it the first time. Now it's you can't fix
no,
it.
No, I heard it. It was flat. My bad. We're having a. I don't know if anyone else experiences this. Oh, okay. Our pod cougars going wild. I don't know if anyone else experiences this to where they have like flat emotion days. Because I'm a very extroverted person. I don't know if you guys have gathered that. But I'm usually pretty bubbly and blah, blah, blah. And like, there are just some days that there's nothing. Like, it's just nothing. You know what I mean? Yeah. And I don't know. It's not that I'm like not feeling or whatever. I'm just having a hard day emoting correctly or whatever. But I do just have like flat emotion days. That's what I've known.
I've had days where I'm kind of like in a funk or just like in more of a bad mood or like sullen mood for no like explainable reason. But I'm not sure if I've had like, but my days have a much more like soft, gentle, undulating curve as opposed to like you have higher peaks than I do when it comes to like emotive days. Like you're I feel like you're consistently a more emotive person than me.
Always. So. I mean, yes, for sure. I just I don't know. I answer things wrong. My tone doesn't match my face or the words that I say.
Now I have had that.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
Where you're like, hey,
excuse him.
What the fuck's your problem? I was like, no, I was joking. She was like, maybe you tell your voice and your face.
Oh, my God. We used to tell Katie that all the time. She's like, I'm joking. And I was like, you might want to tell your face that. Might want to tell your tone that. Because, I don't know, Katie does not find herself funny. I don't know if anyone else has a friend or whatever that doesn't find themselves funny, but like you find fucking hilarious. Katie is one of the funniest fucking people in the world to me. And I don't know. She just doesn't think of herself as funny. I love
she's got
unsuspecting
type
funny people.
Yes.
That's my favorite. Kaylee is another person. I don't think that she doesn't think that she's funny, but like because she does.
Hey the overlord's listening, right?
I know, and I'm complimenting her. Does it not sound like it?
I don't know, it could go either
Kaylee,
way.
Kaylee, you're very funny. She's just more of those like one-liners, like or something happens and then she comes in at the end. This bitch, I'm pretty sure I've told this story before. We went with we went with some of the Great Clips girls years and years ago to see Titanic when they like remastered it and all that shit in fucking I almost said in salon. In the theaters.
Yeah.
And we're sitting there and spoiler alert. All right. Boat's broken apart.
That's
they're
true,
floating.
I haven't seen it.
And like one of the dinghies from one of the rescue ships is coming around. Coming around, and they're like, anybody alive? Anybody alive? Kind of thing. And it, like, just awkwardly, James Cameron, like, zooms in on, like, frozen people in the drink. Mm-hmm. And there's a woman with her baby and everything. And Kaylee leans over to me in a silent theater and goes, Marco. And they're laughing. And everyone in the theater turns and looks at me. And I said, she said Marco. But Jackie, a friend of the podcast, has also, she comments on, she's a very funny person. But like, I am the person who will just repeat what you said but louder.
Right, yes. Yeah, you. Well, because it's a echo whatever.
Echolalia.
Yes, yeah. It's a form of that as well.
Yes, and like ADHD, like I'm paying attention, like so you can hear that I'm paying attention or whatever. But yeah. I love unsuspecting funny people. Yeah. Or whatever, I forgot how we got here. went down to Nashville. Katie, yeah. Mm-hmm. It was great. Had some great beer, had great food.
Oh, yeah.
Met a lot of dogs. That was super fun. Loved that.
Went to a dog speed dating event.
A dog speed dating event?
Yeah, that's how you met all those dogs.
I can't stand you. Oh, my God. I totally would go on a speed dating event, though, just to, like, go through it. Oh, gosh. That I could be
never,
anyone no. that I wanted to be well, every 5 seconds or whatever it is when they turn.
Oh, my God.
I feel very fortunate that I didn't have to internet date.
Yeah, I've thought about that but and I, said it to other people multiple times.
Yeah, I mean, but I also know many people who found each other on the internet that yeah. are very happy, which mm-hmm. is wonderful. I am dumb and almost bought a car off of fake eBay. So, like, me and the internet don't get along very well. So, if I'm trying to find partners, it's...
Oh, my God.
Oh, my God. I get swindled.
Oh, my God. I'm about to meet up with this Nigerian prince.
Damn. It's true. Oh, okay. I don't know how exactly, but let's... to like slide in
shift gears
to weird shit. Yeah, shift okay. gears. I didn't know if anyone else had seen that this Alaskan fisherman, Ray, his name is Ray, and I can give you the tag or whatever. They're out on a boat.
Okay.
And they find a gigantic fucking spy balloon. They fucking found, like, just out and whatever. I didn't even get that part. But they hauled it up onto the thing, mm-hmm. onto the boat. And it is the size of 3 buses.
What?
3 buses. I thought that, like, weather balloons, like, I knew weather balloons were bigger than that. You know what I mean? We're bigger than, like, it's a party balloon. But this thing is fucking gigantic. It took them forever to get it up.
Oh, look, a Zeppelin.
A Zeppelin. But yeah, they fucking called the FBI.
Well, yeah.
And they were like, hello, we have something that may or may not belong to you.
I don't know.
maybe not. Very weird. Very weird. So, like I said, like, slide weird into that. But I also have seen some other weird things on TikTok this week. Fun fact, did you know that mid-level AI cannot conceptualize centaurs?
Yep. Yeah.
Centaurs.
Doesn't surprise me.
Yeah. Emily E.M. Ha-he. That's really funny. That's E.M. Ha-he is her tag, her username. Mm-hmm. Annie Hooselbees. She has multiple pictures that she tried to run through. I didn't catch which AI program it was from. Sure. I'm guessing one of the free ones, but yeah. Running it through maybe Oracle or something like that. But one was like just a really hulked out spirit. Which, like,
I was like, hulked out spirit. Yeah. Oh, from the Disney cartoon. Horse movie, yeah. Spirit.
Did you know that there's like a swath of people that are sexually attracted to Spirit the Horse?
I thought you were going to say centaurs.
Well, that too. But that is more acceptable than a whole ass horse, I think.
I mean, Wyoming? Like, what's...
No, I know one personally. Like, I know them. And, yeah.
Okay, so we're going to have to talk about that off air.
Oh, my gosh. Yeah, I can't reveal any names.
Mm,
I don't think that they would have a problem with me or even coming on and talking about it, literally, because they're ridiculous. But
okay.
Yeah, I know.
I have an idea.
Some people were like, oh, yeah, that was one of my first crushes. I was like, that horse is attractive. And like, but where is the line? Like, yeah, where's the okay line? Because I watch animes and I find like animated characters attractive. Not that I would be like, oh, let me get this 2D.
I mean, yeah, because there is a line.
Yeah?
I'm not sure where it is because okay. I feel like Lola Bunny in Space Jam was a trap. All right.
yes. Yeah, Lola Bunny's hot.
I'm like, that. This is where furries came from. Like,
Oh my God. The fursona.
But yeah, no. So yeah, but like straight up horse though. That's interesting.
Yeah.
For me, that's a little. I guess everyone's line is different. That's past my line. I don't mean to
pass your line.
I do not want to yuck anybody's yum that yum is not hurting anyone. So if you find Spirit the Horse attractive, that's perfectly fine. Just as long as you don't go around molesting actual horses.
Yeah, we're millennials, so we've seen that video. We've seen how that ends.
Yeah,
it's not good. It ends with a gravestone.
Yeah.
And not for the horse.
Nope.
speaking of furries, I saw on TikTok.
I do want to clarify. Well, I know at least one person who is a furry, and like 90% of that community is not sexual. Like, that's
not
what it's about at all. Yeah. It's just like, it's a bunch of like fucking theater kids who enjoy like anthropomorphizing themselves as.
Yeah, man.
An animal instead of like dressing. Listen, Ren we Fair
all
style.
Pretended to you know be I mean? Animals when we were kids. All of us pretended.
Yeah, all
and
of us
then
did.
I don't even act like you didn't. And if you didn't, you're weird. So I strongly stand by that. Do you know how many times I was a cheetah? Like, I was a cheetah so many times. And I don't think I was a horse. I was a dolphin. I would in the water. I was a dolphin or a mermaid as I got a little older. But like, I don't know. It's just, it's your imagination on the outside. That's how I think about it.
Sure, yeah.
I did see a TikTok that said Christians would be so mad to know that the Easter Bunny is Jesus Christ's fursona.
Oh, yes, you showed me that. I almost did a spit take.
I laughed so hard when I heard it. I wish I would have written it down, who it was. I'll send him a shout out if I find it, but my God, I laughed so hard. Sorry if you're offended. My bad.
Anyway, so we got off topic. AI can't draw centaurs.
Yep.
And some people are attracted to Spirit the Horse.
Yes.
Okay.
There's like a whole, like I said, community of them.
Okay.
Yeah, yeah. Listen, I know that I've slacked the past couple of episodes here because you've been on a tear. So I've got some update on the world cruise. Yes.
I'm here for it.
I've got some tea because I want to know your opinion on it because, like, I have my own, but I want to know. Okay, so apparently.
Okay.
There's been another fight.
Yeah, that's bound to happen.
For sure. Well,
why do you think most cruises aren't this fucking long?
I mean, really? No kidding.
Like, even the long cruises are like 6 weeks tops.
I wonder if there's, like, for people who work in submarines, what are they called, number one?
Submariners.
Okay. So there has to be quite a bit of psychological testing and preparation that goes in with submariners, right?
Yes.
Like, so that's basically the deepest, longest cruise. You know what I mean? So why? I don't understand why there wouldn't have been more sociological prep, if that makes sense, if I'm using that correctly.
Because Navy, you see a lot of boat time, but like there's also like you go through boot camp and you have like You follow orders. Yeah, there's chain of command. Everything's regimented and order and more orderly.
I guess I'm just more commenting on. Well, I get all of that has to do with
right. That's
the training
what I mean.
That they implement.
Exactly. Because,
well,
like,
I guess I'll let you finish your thought.
Because, like, even though, like, you know, submarines like go under the water, most people who are stationed on a boat in Navy have about as much like shore leave.
Ship time.
Yeah, ship time and shore leave. You know, as the people on the cruise, except they don't have casinos or on.
Could
on,
you imagine?
Yeah.
A casino on a fucking Navy boat?
Like on a carrier, it's not that far-fetched because like carriers are like basically the size of a fucking city.
Yeah.
Like it's a miniature wrong. City on the fucking water.
I have only seen like a memorial ship, if that makes sense. I've been on, I think it was like the fake Titanic.
Gotcha.
In the Gulf or something. I don't know. I forget. But I've never been like on a fucking boat. You like one like, of those boats. I've never gotcha. Been to Annapolis and seen the fucking shits.
Sure.
You know what I mean?
Been to Pearl Harbor. Or,
you know, yeah. I mean, that would be gorgeous. Yeah? But I don't want to travel to Hawaii. They don't want us there. So I would love to see it. And I don't know how to ethically do that. So maybe a little bit of, maybe I can do a travel episode, how to ethically go places or
sure,
whatever.
I think that'd be a great idea.
That'd be kind of nice. Samuel, remember that. Put it on the record. Oh my God. So back to this nine-month cruise ship. Yeah,
there's a fight.
A male pinnacle member. So remember, they've got the different levels.
Right. The pinnacles are the ones that are on the whole time.
Full legger.
Yes. Okay.
Yep. Yes, but pinnacle is also like a status within Royal Cruise Line. Okay. So they're pinnacle member. They have a suite. They are a full runner. They're not a legger.
Right. Okay.
So this man assaulted another passenger.
Okay.
But it happened on land.
Okay.
During one of the excursions.
Okay.
So the word is that Royal Caribbean literally is not doing anything about it. They're like, didn't happen on the boat. If it didn't happen on the boat, doesn't matter. So what happened was this grown fucking man. At some point during...
From the way you're saying that, I don't know how grown he is.
He's like probably...
No, I just meant mentally and emotionally.
Sure. I'm probably in his 50s. He got pissy with a family of four, I believe it was. Got pissy with them during this excursion and then like spent most of the time being a fucking dick to the family. Like, just a total dick. Okay. And when the wife finally turned around and said something, he physically assaulted her. He fucking pushed her and pushed her so hard that she fell down and, like, tripped over her kid and shit. And, they were like, sorry. No, I mean, that really sucks. And we'll tell him to stay away from you. But other than that, Royal Caribbean is just doing nothing.
Well, I would wait until we were out in international waters.
I was like, you are literally creating and brewing the next 48 hours case.
And I'm going to...
What are you doing?
Christopher Walken, that motherfucker.
Absolutely. Natalie who?
Yeah, exactly.
I have never heard of her.
Mm-hmm.
That man...
You mean she was on this boat the whole time? Not talking about the wife. I'm talking about the pinnacle little baby back then. I don't know who you think you is, but...
Tell him, Samuel.
That would be a... God, who would have thought that you would be using your pinnacle membership at the hour of your demise? Like,
oh my God, yes. Rest in pieces in wherever. I forgot to take down where they were.
Rest
anything, but
afloat amidst the
rest
shipping
lanes. Rest is dinner in a fucking great white, motherfucker.
Yeah.
Yeah, man. I don't know. Like, I do understand, like, it didn't happen on the ship or whatever.
Yeah.
But
if you drunkenly, quote-unquote, stumble, quote-unquote, overboard, quote-unquote, and with a gag in your mouth so no one hears you.
Yeah.
You know.
Also, like, let's be real about this. They've already been on that boat since, what, December? Last 2 weeks of December, maybe January, all right? So they've been on there for 3 motherfucking months. Or they're on 3 months, roughly. Almost. And, like, people know where the cameras are now.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? That's the... Maybe I shouldn't say that on the internet forever. That's what I look at the very first thing. When I walk into a room, like, I scan it for people, and then I look for cameras. Because I just... I don't know. What am I going to do? Like, I'm not doing anything, but I do. Just because I'm like, oh, okay. If something happens, they have cameras. Maybe we can get footage.
Right, like, yeah.
I hate how that is. And, I mean, I talked to Dad about that not too long ago. And he was like, I would have never thought about something like that. I'm like, yeah, man. Mm-hmm. Being a lady's kind of scary sometimes. But... yeah, being a little scary out in the public with your fucking family, and you just get, and when I fall down, like, number one, embarrassing. Like, I am embarrassed so quickly by falling down, and I don't know why. Like,
everyone is,
but NFL players get paid to fall down all day long.
There's a difference between being tackled as part of a game and falling down accidentally.
Sure, you're not wrong.
I've worked at an oil bottling plant, and turns out the floors were a little slickery.
A little bit.
And it wasn't a question of if you were going to fall. It was a question of when you were going to fall and how often. And I don't care how long you worked there or how many times you fell. The first thing you did was you would get up as quickly as possible, which I would not recommend for health reasons. But it was your first natural reaction was to get up as quickly as possible, pretend that nothing hurt, and look around as casually as you could muster to see who the fuck just saw that.
Oh, my God.
And if it turns out it was at least more than one person, chances are they were running to the office to capture the security camera footage.
That's funny.
To then record it, like record the monitor with their phone and then send it to everyone in the plant.
Yes. I do kind of love that, to be honest. Oh my God. We have footage at work we have cameras at work, and I've been able to pull up a few things and I'm like, oh, this is not great. Oh, not great. Well, Samuel, we've gabbed for quite a moment.
Yeah.
As I understand it, you've got a little nibbling for us.
Yeah,
you got a dingleberry for us.
Oh, God. You're a goober. Yeah, so I think we'll kind of pull back from doing full episodes of Karen Silkwood.
Sure.
And we're going to continue on, but in installments as the story progresses. And we'll just see. We're going to go through to the end. I'm not sure how many more it's going to take, but we're just going to take it kind of at the same pace as we have been, but just for shorter periods of time so we can both be contributing topics to the podcast instead of just me. Not that I don't love it, but Cassie is a very entertaining person who finds a lot of interesting topics to talk about. So,
well, thanks. I appreciate you.
Okay.
I'm fine with it.
Okay, so part four. Karen Silkwood. So we're back in the story. Instead of giving you a full recap, because we've come too far now. If you want to know where we started out at, go back and listen, all right? What are you doing here? What are you doing? Just start at the beginning, okay?
Baloney!
So instead of doing that, we're just kind of quickly surmise where we left off.
Great.
So where we left off, FBI investigator Larry Olson.
Yeah! Right,
met with a news reporter, Joe Pennington, who worked at the Oklahoma radio station. And Joe went station KTOK. Joe went public with the information of the missing plutonium and blamed a smuggling ring.
Oh, yeah.
And then Kerr McGee, the nuclear company put pressure on the station, and because of that, and then plus some other internal things allegedly, Pennington leaves to be a news reporter for a station in Columbus, Ohio. And that's where we left off.
All right.
All right. So, a few weeks later, Pennington gets another call from Larry Olson. Right? Okay. So, Olson called him to say that he just talked to a source from Kerr McGee, and that source told him that the missing plutonium is now up to about 120 pounds.
What the fuck? That's an incredible amount.
Right, which is double the estimate from before, which was like 40 to 60 pounds was the estimate from before.
Bro, I know inventory's hard, but right. Like bulk inventory? Come on now.
Yeah.
That's okay. Okay.
And if...
So we're missing 20 million bombs worth.
And to recap, 120 pounds is enough to make... enough plutonium to make 10 bombs big enough to destroy a city about as big as Indianapolis.
Jesus Christ. Oh, O'Reilly's Auto Parts.
So, Olson, Larry Olson,
mm-hmm.
Mr. Theory Man himself,
mm-hmm.
right, has himself a new one.
Oh, all right. It's evolving.
Yeah. And it took me a minute to kind of get my head around it. Because, anyway, so basically, okay. He thinks that the OCAW, the Oil, Chemical, and Atomic Workers Union, is behind the whole thing. Okay? So...
What?
I know. So...
That just, the union?
Yeah. Just let me break it down.
Okay, I'm with you.
So, because, yeah, that's where I was at. I was like, then why the fuck? Hold on. I have to. So, the article I'm taking most of this from, I had to, like.
Dissect. Yeah. Yes.
Right. So, according to the theory, the higher ups at the OCAW are behind the smuggling of plutonium. Right. So. Okay. Right. They're, like, getting people at the plant to, like, smuggle
it out.
Right. Yeah. So, okay. They're at the tippy tap. Right. So, Karen starts coming to the OCAW about, like, safety issues, right?
Sure.
Okay, now this is good. We're good with this, okay? So now they have evidence to kind of put Kerr McGee under their thumb and over a barrel, right? So, but now Karen has found out there's missing plutonium. So now Karen is a problem and a loose end, right?
Yeah.
Okay, so the OCAW now it contaminates Karen with plutonium to make Karen's safety claims against Kerr McGee seem like that much more legitimate and make Karen think that the company is on to her.
Oh, my God. All right. So it was reverse engineered.
Yeah, basically. By them.
Yeah.
So now the OC, which kind one of the reasons he's leaning this way is there's no like real direct link to show that Kerr McGee or anyone who working there knew when and where her meeting to give evidence to the OCAW was when and where it was supposed to take place. Right. Or where she was coming from. So, but the OCAW higher-ups knew when and where the meeting was because she was giving evidence to them. So they would know who to send, when to send, and where to send them to wreck her car. But since she was allegedly giving evidence to the OCAW about Kerr McGee...
Yes.
Like, if there was just enough signs of foul play, they know that Kerr McGee is going to try to sweep this under the rug.
Sure.
And whatever contacts they have is going to try to sweep this under the rug quickly. And
yeah, that makes sense.
Because the evidence doesn't look good and it points toward Kerr McGee, And so they found a way to silence Karen, make Kerr-McGee look bad, and get rid of her tangible, like, documented evidence of the smuggling. So
it's a good theory.
Yeah,
it's a good theory.
It's a pretty wild theory, but
pretty solid.
This whole story has been
wild. You got
a
middle, you got an end,
right? So pretty wild theory.
Okay, yeah.
This whole story's been wild, so we'll see how it shakes out. Okay.
All right.
Which I haven't even made it all the way to the end of the story. I've just been kind of taking it by pieces.
By the chunk.
So I don't know how many definitive answers we're going to have by the end of this.
But, all right.
So I'm pretty much just like a couple chapters ahead of everybody, basically. I love it. Like, I have not read farther than where I leave off. So.
I gotcha.
So Olson called Pennington to tell him to start looking at the OCAW, right? The problem is Joe Pennington's new job didn't care about a story from Oklahoma that's 4 months old.
Oh.
Right?
You're and old news.
Basically. And to be honest, even media coverage in Oklahoma City had started to die down about this issue.
Yeah, for sure.
Right? So the Justice Department.
Uh-oh.
Right? Whom
the big boys.
The FBI answers to was also ready.
Didn't know that.
Yeah. Was also ready to be done with this case.
I bet.
Yeah.
I bet. Because people are getting fired all up in the FBI too because of this shit.
Yeah. So the Justice Department has a management and labor division.
Of course they do. An HR labor division.
Well, just because, you know, there are a lot of things.
Moving
that,
parts.
Yeah, a lot of moving parts, so you need different, like, departments and divisions to deal with different things, you know.
Sure, sure, sure.
So, the chief of that department was a man named Phil Wylands.
Oh, Phil.
Right. And on February 12th, 1975, so, like, 3 months after...
Thank you.
...the thingy, before Olson had finished his reports... he sent a memo up the ladder to the assistant attorney general. That memo stated that there was no foul play in the case of Karen Silkwood, even though he had only seen 3 of the 11 FBI field reports.
Oh, okay. Yeah. I mean, why read all when 3 is good?
Right. Here's a rug. I wonder what's underneath of it. Dust? Well, it could fit a little more. Let's just sweep that there. So a month later, so we're talking in March, mid-March-ish, there was a young lawyer who worked for the Justice Department in the same division as Wylands, right?
Okay.
This guy's name is Thomas Goldstein. Now, Goldstein was about 2 weeks away from moving to Miami.
Miami.
Right. So naturally, Wylands chose him to draft a final, quote, fact memorandum.
Okay.
Right. Now, normally, this is a process where someone sifts through any and all evidence in order to come to an independent conclusion to kind of basically put the period at the end of the sentence.
Sure.
Of their...
This is what happened.
Yeah.
Okay.
So in this fact memorandum... Goldstein really only focused on A.O. Pipkin's analysis, which created the hit and run theory.
Mm-hmm.
Because if it's not a hit and run, then we don't have to worry about motive. Like,
sure.
Or why or how this happened or who was in the other car that hit her and ran, right?
Yes.
So if you don't remember, listen back. But basically, it was super obvious that Karen did not fall asleep at the wheel.
Yeah, she wasn't drunk or pilled out or what have you.
Yeah, there's road crowning, there's skid marks on the wrong spots, that there's skid marks but they don't go back onto the road, like there's no overcorrection, almost as if a car was in her way, or just all this stuff.
Yeah.
So, long story short, Pipkin's report had 3 major points. Now, our boy Goldstein either dismissed or ignored all 3 points.
Oh, okay.
Right.
Dope.
So Goldstein said that a possible reason for Karen crashing on the left side of the road was because there was a freak windstorm that produced gusts up to 60 to 70 miles per hour.
There was a jackalope. there was a chupacabra. Sasquatch walked right in front of her. There have been many Sasquatch sightings in this area, you know?
Yeah,
because where are we again? In OKC? Well, I asked about it because I was going to say something about cactuses and Bigfoot. But there ain't no cactuses there. Come on. It's a Flatwoods Monster. Like, what are you talking about? Deviations in the road. Yeah. Maybe she got spooked.
Yeah. So he...
Gazelle crossing.
So yeah, wind gusts up to 60 to 70
miles. There was a spider that was in her car. Spider! She really freaked out, you know?
Yeah.
She sneezed.
It was bees.
It was bees.
So that information that he wrote in the report actually came from an anonymous tip.
Perfect.
That was called in from Dallas.
It was the jackalope. It was the jackalope. Samuel, I think we've solved it. We can stop here. Oh, my God. Yep. I bet they're good. 1, 2, 3. They've got the finger on the pulse.
Yep, sure do.
Yeah.
So now if Goldstein, after hearing that anonymous tip, would have contacted the National Weather Bureau, they would have told him that there was only a 15-mile-per-hour wind.
Great.
And that wind was coming from the north, which would have been behind the car. So basically,
baby tornado.
The only thing the wind would have contributed to this event was improving her gas mileage. It was a tailwind.
Oh my God. Sir, if the wind was blowing, it would have been good.
Yeah, it was not a crosswind at all.
UFO. They tried to beam her up and then didn't work. All right, so the wind didn't do it.
Well,
who did?
All right, well, here's the thing is that now Goldstein has a bigger problem than just her crashing on the left-hand side of the road.
He's got crabs.
Right? That's funny.
Thank you.
At this point, they're practically lobsters.
Practically.
This bigger problem is the dent in Karen's bumper.
Well, Samuel, she's a woman. She got that another day.
So, now, the Oklahoma City Highway Patrol figured the dent came from concrete as the tow truck pulled out the car, right? But an independent expert showed that the dent came from metal on metal. So, this is not a problem for Goldstein, all right?
UFO.
You know what? I'm surprised he didn't go with UFO.
Oh, my God.
Now, he said that Karen's boyfriend, Drew Stevens, created the dent himself after the car was handed over to him. With what evidence, do you ask?
Samuel, what evidence?
Oh, there was 1,000% no evidence whatsoever to back this up.
Cool. So we're just going off of vibes at this point. Like, we're throwing bones. We are scrying to see what is going on in this case. Not listening to any reason or logic. Just vibes.
Typical FBI investigation.
Yeah, man. I forgot that it was FBI already. Oh,
well, this is Justice Department, too.
You're so good. They're big brother.
So, on April 29th, 1975...
It's taken way too long.
Goldstein officially issued his fact memorandum.
Guys, I've got it.
This was conveniently one day before he left for Miami for his new life and new job.
Wherever. I won't be taking questions. Bye-bye. 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 Oh my God.
Now, mind you, these memorandums are typically...
At the end, he flips his sunglasses down from his fucking forehead.
No, he fucking takes them off his face and chucks them into the crowd because he has an identical pair of sunglasses underneath.
Right underneath. Perfect.
So mind you, these memorandums are typically like 100 or more pages because like you're sifting through all the FBI field reports.
That's what it said. She died in oops.
Right. You're sifting through all the FBI field reports. Oh, you're sifting through police reports, anonymous. You're documenting anonymous tips. You're saying which ones are valid, which ones aren't, while you're. How you came to this conclusion.
Yep.
Goldstein's was 4.5 pages long.
Great. That's longer than what I thought. So, in summation.
And it was double spaced. No, I'm kidding.
Literally.
Large print, like there large was, font.
So, what you do actually is you single space it, and then in between every one of your black lines, you... like your black writing, you put white letters, but you make them a larger text font. Mm-mm. So it widens out your margins, but doesn't look suspicious.
You could just put it at like 1.75 spacing.
No, you couldn't. Not back in the day.
Not back in the day. I didn't Not do back it. In the okay. Day. It wasn't just like one or two.
Listen, it also helped.
Single
it
and
helped
double.
With word count as well.
Oh well, yeah, I could do that, but
that was usually my struggle.
Why? You're full of all the words.
They're the same words,
brother.
Oh my god. So, the fact memorandum was only 4.5 pages long and said basically the same thing as the memo his boss, Phil Weilens, issued 11 weeks earlier.
Great. Through all of my discoveries and research, I have found
what he said.
Right.
Exactly. It's so what that true. Guy said.
Yeah.
Well, so, whatever Phil said is good with me. Yep.
So the fact memorandum was supposed to be the final nail in the coffin, but our boy Larry Olson is not satisfied. He's not amused.
He can't be satisfied.
And he is not done.
Oh, all right, Larry. I'm with you.
No, but that's where we're going to leave off.
Ah, fuck, Larry. I'm ready to roll.
And I guess you'll have to wait for the next installment of the salacious, scandalous Silkwood Saga.
The Silkwood Saga. I love that. That is correct. Silkwood Saga.
Bumper.
How is this going on so long?
When it's so blatant, cover up, sweep under the rug.
And it's everyone.
Fuck your evidence. Don't give a shit. Except for like two people. But that's like how it always goes, right? With most cover ups especially on whistleblowers, there's like two people that keep the story going.
But there are so many people covering up right now. Yeah. Like, it's just...
But all you need is one or two fucking squeaky wheels to keep chirp, chirp, chirping.
Squeaker wheels. I mean, I guess... oh my. All right, well, I'm excited to get to the rest of the Silkwood Saga. Well.
Well, welcome back.
Thanks. I'm excited to be back in the storytelling mode. You're
back in the saddle again.
Back in the habit.
Back.
Birds of war.
Get back from the mouth.
Oh my god, don't.
That's enough. This is gonna be a nightmare for me and the listeners.
Oh my god, that's so funny. Oh, I need to get my little doodle up. Here we go. Well, I have brought you an amazing story today.
Okay.
I know it's late because you were moving through the Silkwood. We didn't realize that Silkwood Saga was gonna fucking keep going.
Yeah, no kidding.
So I've had this kind of cooking because
simmering.
Yeah. But for Black History Month, I wanted to cover someone that I had learned about a little bit and wanted to learn more about. amazing, amazing woman. And in recorded time, International Women's Day was just the other day, too. So my guys at the warehouse got me flowers.
Aw, it's so adorable.
It was really sweet again. I was like, gosh, this is, you guys are so sweet. So I wanted you guys to know about Mary Fields.
Okay.
She has another name that you may know her by. So
okay.
Here we go. So Mary Fields, she was born into slavery in 1832 or 1833.
Okay.
I'm not really sure.
Right.
In Hickman County, Tennessee. That took a long time. I was like, wait, what? What is this?
Brain and words. Words are brain.
And I abbreviated all the states. So let's hope this is not. All right. So not much is known about Mary's childhood.
Right.
But what is known is that she was enslaved by the Warner family in West Virginia before the Civil War.
Gotcha.
Mary was 30 when she was finally free in 1863.
Yeah.
And yep. She went up the Mississippi River.
Okay.
She did many odd jobs, including working on steamboats.
Proud Mary. Is this about Proud Mary?
This is about Proud Mary. Oh. Big wheels keep on turning.
Proud Mary keep on burning. I said rolling.
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 So good.
I love it. That's one of my hidden karaoke it's songs. Not that hidden. It is. I have to be pretty blitz to do it. Any hoozles. So, not only was she working on steamboats, she worked as a chambermaid on the steamboat Robert E. Lee.
Oh, yeah, that's a favorite.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. One day Jesus. In 1870, the Robert E. Lee was racing another steamboat, the Natchez.
Okay.
All right.
I'm rooting for the Natchez.
From New Orleans, or New Orleans.
New Orleans
to St. Louis.
Mm-hmm.
To secure the win, the crew used everything they could to throw into the boiler to make it move faster.
Including the chamber pots?
Mary recalls chamber pots, barrels of resin, wooden chairs, what else?
Wow.
And even slabs of pork.
Weird that Robert E. Lee was powered by big pots of shit.
Oh my God, you're so funny. Ultimately, the Robert E. Lee won.
Yeah.
So...
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. After that, Mary ended up in Toledo, Ohio.
Well, yeah, obviously.
Where her friend... I had to literally look at a map because I was like, Mississippi, Ohio, I don't understand. I thought she went down.
You gotta go up the Cayuga River.
You gotta go up to go down, you know?
Like, I don't know why I gave like a...
Northwestern accent. Yeah,
yeah, northern Midwest accent to...
There we go.
Fucking Toledo, but all right.
Because...
Don't you know.
Because, don't you know. I have an answer for that. Her Mary's friend, Mother Superior, Mother Amadeus, got her a job at Ursuline.
So this is basically fucking Sister Act. Is that what this is? This is Sister Act.
Oh wow, yeah, kind of. Yep. Shut up and listen. So Ursuline Covenant of the Sacred Heart. Mary worked at this.
Convent.
Thank you. Because I was like,
you're like, no.
That's not right. And I'm like, coven. No, like they definitely don't want to be called that.
Yeah. No. No.
Say it for me again.
Convent.
Thank you. Because it's wrecked throughout here for spelling errors.
You got a lot of red squiggles, do you?
No, I got a lot of convent or covent, and they're like, yeah, that's a word. You're using that. You're talking about bonds right now, aren't you? And that's a covalent.
It is, yeah.
So, Mary is working at a covenant.
No, convent.
Convent! Is working at a convent?
Members of convents do make covenants with God. So,
Jesus.
Not that far removed.
So, she worked in Ohio until 1885. And then her friend, Mother Amadeus, she was called somewhere else.
Okay,
before 1885. And then She got sick. Mother Amadeus got sick, so she called for Mary. Okay. And Mary was like, you got it. I'm up there so fast. So where is up there?
Wow. I'm fucking... Mother Amadeus must have ate that box like a motherfucker.
Listen, why would you think that?
Because, yeah, I can't imagine there's been a history of same-sex relations with fucking convents or anything.
Yeah.
If they weren't tunneling from to and from monasteries. Like.
I can't stand you. You're funny. So Mary was called by Mother Amadeus to come help take care of her when she got pneumonia to the St. Petersburg Convent in Cascade, good Minnesota. Job. Thank you.
Oh, now we got the Minnesota.
So now we're in Minnesota. Oh, okay.
Mm-hmm. Oh, into the Vikings game. I saw them purple people eaters.
Purple people eaters.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. This guy's head went right into the turf, and I was like, well, that's going to leave a stain.
A stain. So Mary took a job at the convent to stick around. She pretty much did everything. She cooked, she cleaned. What else did she
stick?
She chopped wood. She dug holes that you can fit in. Whoa. And she also helped fill. She also helped build buildings. Like she helped like erect
structures.
Mary.
So basically, she had her Rocky IV in Russia training montage and digging holes, chopping wood.
Yeah, there are chickens.
Chasing chickens, that's Rocky II.
Oh, my bad, my bad.
How dare you?
So Mary was promoted to...
You gotta have speed. You gotta have lightning speed. You gotta eat lightning and crop thunder.
Crop thunder. All right, Mickey, you got it. Go sit in the corner. Sit in the corner. All right, Mary was promoted to convent forewoman.
Is that like assistant to the regional manager?
Oh my God, that's funny. No, like she ran that bitch.
Gotcha. So all she's right. Like Pam as office manager.
Yeah. With being the forewoman, that also meant driving the stagecoach, and the stagecoach was used to transport guests, transport family between different estates,
sure,
and also to secure supplies.
Yeah, I was gonna say mansion. Get supplies and bring it back to the convent and stuff.
Yes. So I would like to interject something that I learned along the way. You know, when you're kids and you're running to the cart and you call dibs for a front seat, how do you call that?
Shotgun.
Exactly. Right. Do you know where that came from?
Came from like Stagecoach and Pony Express times.
Literally. There were two people. There was the driver, mm-hmm, and then there was the guy who rode with the shotgun.
Yeah, people. Well, that's why the...
I love it. I was like, oh yeah, I'll do that.
Oh yeah, you would. Well, now they also had to like protect the horses against like coyotes or wolves or stuff that would and try to
I'll punch a coyote.
You'd shoot a coyote with a shotgun?
I'd kick him.
You'd shoot a coyote. The term is not, you don't call dibs by saying kick 'em spot. You call dibs by calling shotgun.
I'll shoot above them. I'll scare them. I'll wing them.
All right, I just want you to know the full scope of the job before you volunteer
readily. I'm going to learn to talk to animals. It's fine. So, yes, Mary rode solo. She did not have a shotgun, man.
Did she at least have a six shooter?
Oh, she had a revolver. Mm-hmm. She was famously known to always have a revolver on her.
Nice.
But she traveled.
Hey, look, you gotta stay strapped in the hood of fucking Minnesota. Dude. All right? Minneapolis, what's up? Represent.
She was never not armed.
Yeah.
Pretty much. But she traveled with a revolver. She was a freed and
slave in fucking like the late shotgun. 1800s. Holy shit. I can't believe she's going around strapped all the time.
Yeah. So this, to secure supplies for the Cascade Convent, round trip was 120 miles.
Okay, that's not too bad.
I guess, like, it's fine in a car.
Well, no, I just mean for, like, Minnesota. Like, the distance is not, like, that surprising.
Whatever.
During that time.
She went rain or shine.
No. I'm not saying it's not impressive. I just meant the distance seemed about right of what I was calculating in my head.
I gotcha.
That's all I meant.
You know of Western dry goods spots?
No, I was just thinking
a map of,
the
time, you know, the famous ones.
Like the time frame and the general like area and how developed Minnesota probably was around that time. I would say that it would be about 60 miles to anywhere from any like spot to like get to something civilized. Yeah. To where she could procure supplies from. That's all I was thinking.
I figured.
Anyway.
So on one specific trip, Mary's horses were attacked by exactly what Sam said. Wolves.
Yeah.
The calamity caused the stagecoach to flip. And this is, she's on her way home. So she has secured the bag.
Well, hey, look, at least she had some supplies to, like, you know, it's better than being, like, going with an empty stagecoach, you know what I mean? Like,
what do you mean?
Like, she was coming back from getting supplies, right?
She, yes, she was full.
Yeah. So I'm like saying if she was stranded or injured or like,
I understand what you're
like
saying.
Like caught in the middle of nowhere, at least she wasn't like trying to, you know, boil her shoes to try to get some weather.
Yes. I mean, sure. But like, yeah, my thought is that belongs to someone else. And especially in that time, like you're going to make sure that you get all those goods back.
The wolves got it.
So stagecoach flips, right?
Yeah.
Horses, all of them run away.
Well, no
end
shit.
Of it, all, there are six of these bitches. They run away. Mm-hmm. All right?
So she, like, hooked herself up to the stagecoach and, like, pulled it the rest of the way.
So instead of calling it absolutely 100% quits, Mary decides to stay with the stagecoach.
Right.
Because there's a bunch of shit in there, right?
Right, yeah.
Mm-hmm. She ended up having to guard the stagecoach the same pack of wolves.
Oh shit, she's like Liam Neeson in the gray and shit.
Very much so. They would attack and
other bandits are gonna come to try to like, you know.
Maybe. They would attack in packs and she had to use her shotgun.
Mm-hmm.
But she only had so many rounds.
Right.
After that, she just pulled out her revolver.
Yeah, you gotta do what you gotta do, you know.
In the morning, she took a moment to inspect her surroundings, and that's when she observed a bunch of dead fucking wolves.
Fuck, yeah!
This woman killed all of them. Defended nice. That bitch. Yes. So once she secured that...
Did she make a coat out of all the wolf coat?
Oh, my God.
Because she should have. Fuck a mink coat. This is straight wolf, bitch.
I killed this thing. Yes, absolutely.
I Cruella DeVil'd all these motherfuckers.
Once she completed that, she tracked down every single one of the horses.
Oh, my God.
Collected all six of them. Yeah. Because I have already chosen to go home. I am starting my new life 10 miles down the road. Fuck everything I have or I left in the last town. I'm taking what I can carry from here.
Yep.
And
going here.
Yep. Going here.
Starting a new life in St. Paul. Fuck you, yep. Minneapolis.
My name is Lucille Daldwin. Yep. Not made up at all. So she reassembles her stagecoach team. And now, I don't know.
How the fuck does she get that bitch back on the wheels?
Well, she reassembles her little horses. And, like, I don't know if you guys have ever been...
I guess she could use them to get it back up on the wheels.
Maybe. But she... Oh, my goodness, I lost my place. So... She's got the band back together, right?
Yes, right.
I don't know if you've ever been in a car accident or like an airplane that had turbulence that like shook your shit around.
Mm-hmm.
Because like, I mean, even if you get a package from Amazon, like that shit's tossed, right? Not this bitch. Mary only lost one barrel of molasses.
Wow.
Yeah, and that was before she uprighted the entire stagecoach by herself. So I don't know about the horses helping, but maybe, because that would be very nice. But she got that bitch off the side of the road that was in the mud and got it up. Like, it was...
Nice.
Yeah, she did it by herself.
So here's the thing. Someone taught her the secret technique of when you strap it down, like all the cargo and stuff, you have to hit it two times and say, that's not going anywhere.
Yeah, you do. You do.
So she clearly did that. And that's why she only lost a barrel of molasses.
I guess, yeah. Well, when she got home, the bishop made her pay for the keg of molasses.
Well, no shit, because bishops are dicks. That's why they look like that on a chessboard.
That's funny. So Mary wasn't like the other women at the convent.
Not like the other girls.
She's not. She stood out.
Clearly, she killed a fucking pack of wolves, dude.
I know.
I... Yup.
She stood out for her choice to wear men's clothing, although she did wear an apron when she was cooking or cleaning. Never mind that she kept her revolver under her apron. And
right next to her giant balls.
And her flask of whiskey.
Nice.
In the pocket.
That puts the hair on the balls.
Yeah. So a few things about our girl Mary. She's a great shot. She's known for it.
Yeah. I bet.
Yeah. She loved to swear and drink.
And works at a convent.
Yeah. Yeah.
Totally.
She smoked home-rolled cigarettes.
Fucking like Sister Mary Clarence
train.
Over here.
And to no surprise, Mary liked to physically fight. Yeah. And to also talk about politics.
Yeah, because who's going to fucking step up?
So with this description of Mary, you'd be correct to assume that she was a thick gal. She was 6 foot tall.
Oh, my God.
And around 200 pounds.
Oh, shit.
And she wasn't afraid of shit.
No shit. Dude, she's built like fucking... She's basically like... A black Brienne of Tarth at this
literally.
Point in time.
Like, yeah, man. Yeah.
Because most dudes are rocking like 5'5", 5'6", because right now the average American male height is like 5'7". And back then it was like 5'5".
Yeah.
So like she's 6 foot, like towering 6 inches over most dudes at this point in time. Like, bitch, say something.
Say something else, please. Well, many of the local women, the local women did not. They did not love Mary's crass attitude. Her temperament was sometimes described as that of a grizzly bear.
Yeah, say it to her face.
So these local ladies bitched to the mayor and demanded that he establish a law to forbid women drinking inside the town. Yeah.
Fuck.
And the mayor was like, yeah, okay, that's fine. But Mary can drink. So what they did was just successfully ban everyone else in the town, except for the one person that they wanted.
Yep. Yeah, because even the mayor's like, fuck no, you tell her. I ain't telling her.
Yeah. So circling back to, remember how I said Mary liked to fight?
Yeah.
So it was well known in Cascade and the allying areas that Mary could take on 2 grown-ass men in a fight and win every time. No questions asked.
Oh my God, I want to be friends so bad.
Her confidence was so steadfast that she had a standing bet that she could knock any man out with one punch. It is reported that she never lost.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. One of the saloons in town had its own standing bet that if any man could remain conscious after a punch from Mary, they'd be awarded $5 and a free shot of whiskey.
Well, throwing an ice pack and like
a slab of meat,
right?
A steak.
Jesus. Yeah, I know.
Mary's ass whoopings were not contained to only saloons. One afternoon, at a local ranch, she had a heated disagreement with the ranch foreman on the correct way to harness up a horse. Mary ended the argument by picking up a rock and bashing him in the head.
That's spicy.
She said, "Wop." Period.
And a concussion for you. You'll be lucky if you'll remember what horses are by the time you wake
literally,
up.
Literally. Literally. She also was known to open full cans of whoop ass on anyone who walked on her freshly trimmed lawn.
So she's...
Yep. It is thought that she has broken more noses than anyone else in Minnesota. She fought with a skunk that snuck into the chicken coop.
Oh, yeah.
Dragged the skunk back to the main house to show the nuns. And they were like, look, she said, so I killed this for you.
Bring it inside she catted, like a cat. Yeah. Bringing in half a bird.
And they were like, how the fuck did you not get sprayed? And she goes, I'll just attack it from the front.
Yeah.
She bum rushed the fucking skunk and was like, not today, motherfucker, and grabbed it by the face. Just, come on.
Oh my God. That reminds me of a story of a terrible person. He was like this Air Force like general who was like behind the idea of like total war against Japan and World War II, like with the mass carpet bombings we did. But anyway, he was this fucking super cast iron faced dude who was smoking a cigar in a submarine. Whoop, brought submarines back. And
nice.
And they're like, sir, you can't do that. There's like torpedoes and explosive stuff in here, you can't.
This is a large bomb. It's yeah. a pressure cooker, sir.
So it could, like, there's.
We are canning ourselves.
This could explode. And he basically, referring to, like, the bombs and munitions and torpedoes, he looks at him and goes, they wouldn't dare.
They wouldn't dare.
Like, I'm just.
Show me two people with the same vibe. Right. Mary Fields yeah. and like that guy.
How'd the skunk not spray you? It was afraid.
Yeah, she's basically the same level of Chuck Norris yeah. at this moment. Okay? Mary can do no wrong. So Mary's been at the convent for 10 years now. So yeah. what did I say? 1885? Boom, mm-hmm. that's what I said. So it's 1895.
Mm-hmm.
She doesn't have the most stellar reputation. But what I mean by that is that shitty little men in Cascade were fucking bitches.
Well, yeah.
They didn't like that Mary could do everything that they could do and more.
Yeah.
None of... one, two, three. No one more so hated Mary and her talents more than the convent handyman. He starts running around talking shit.
Yeah.
To anyone who will listen, this man is whining. Guess who finds out?
I'm going to guess Mary.
You are correct.
Yes! I'm so fucking smart.
She went to the saloon where he was and was like, yeah, hi. You got a problem? Called him out.
Oh, I'm so scared for this little man.
So the golden rule of handling work shit is off the clock, off the block, handle it.
Yeah.
Yeah? Okay. Well, Mary pulled up on him and he was actually supposed to be at work. So she pulls up on him.
So he wasn't off the clock. See, that's where she fucked up.
No. Yeah, he's not off the clock because I'm a lying liar pants. He wasn't at a saloon. He was at the convent. He's at work. Okay.
Okay.
So that's why I put that note in there. I skipped a line. Any hoozles. Okay. So when you handle work shit, off the clock, off the block.
Yeah.
And then you can whoop ass.
Mm-hmm.
Well, Mary didn't follow that rule.
Mm.
She went up there because she took her work beef to work.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know. And she challenged him to a duel. All right.
Nice.
Guy was like,
love a good
let's
duel.
Do this. It is not clear how this happened, but Mary ended up shooting him in the ass. Yep.
Figured, my guess is she thought he talked out of his ass so much he needed another hole.
I don't know. We'll never know. We'll never know. But the bishop ended up sending Mary packing, right?
Dumbass.
Never fear.
Now who's going to get your supplies when the wolves are going to attack your fucking wagon?
Fucking the handyman.
Some handy bitch.
The
yeah,
handyman with
you.
Two assholes. My holes. So, never fear. Mary's bestie for the restie, Mother Amadeus, was able to get Mary a chance at a job as a postal worker.
Oh, yeah.
Mm-hmm. So, Mother Amadeus bought her a wagon and a team of horses.
Nice.
Yeah. And Mary, like I said, like she was up for a job. She got a chance to
interview, audition, whatever.
Exactly. Because handling and like landing the job as, not handling, but landing the job as as a mail carrier wasn't super easy.
No.
Today,
no.
It's not easy either. Like, you have to know somebody who knows somebody, right?
Yeah. But no, like, I'm assuming, like, because, like, postal workers, like, they were attacked a lot because, like, checks were sent. Like, or important information or just, like or even just, like, sending money.
Money, goods,
so they were,
anything.
They were attacked so much, so I'm sure they wanted to, like, make her, like, run some paces to prove that she could fucking handle that
So what they did in Minnesota was, everyone who wanted to audition for the job, they would show up, right, with their stagecoach and their team. And
I wanted to see this turn into an anime.
Oh, my God. This would be an amazing anime. The Postal Service was known for having their applicants compete against one another, right?
Oh, sure, yeah.
So what they had to do...
I would totally do that, yeah.
Right? The Postal Service would have all of the hopeful mail carriers line up and see who could hitch their team of six horses and rig the stagecoach the fastest. Mm-hmm. Whoever did it the fastest got the job. At 60 years old...
Oh,
Mary
my God.
Everyone.
Oh, my God. I forgot she was... See, I usually tell stories where it's like, they did all this by the time they were 13 and a half.
Yes, literally. At 60.
Holy shit.
Mary became the second woman to ever be a mail carrier for USPS. And she was also the first black person to be... Yeah, and she's
cool.
Black female.
That's super cool.
So,
at 60.
60. Oof. Yes, it's reported that Mary never missed a delivery or was late. So, do you know the true USPS slogan?
No, I just know, like, the colloquial, like, neither sleet nor rain or no rain or shine or whatever.
Yeah. Neither snow nor rain nor heat nor gloom of night stays these couriers from the swift completion of their appointed rounds. That's like the motto.
Yes.
I never really heard it like that. Like
I knew I heard it, but
yeah. So their motto really applies to where they are geographically.
Right.
In Minnesota.
In Minnesota, yeah.
Yeah. So when it snows,
you get a lot of snow up here in Minnesota.
It fucking snows.
Oh,
yeah.
Gosh, that wet snow, it just packs, and then it turns slushy, and then it packs again.
But like I mentioned, Mary never failed. When the snow would pile up too high, Mary would hitch her team of horses and continue on foot.
Jesus.
Yes. She was just Santa Claus in that fucking... mailbag.
Right. I mean, even with snowshoes, like if you're carrying a heavy mailbag, like it's...
Yes. Oof. Yeah. So her dedication to her work earned her nickname.
She's
at 60 plus.
60 plus. She's huffing it through Minnesota snows.
Stagecoach Mary.
Oh my God. I fucking heard of Stagecoach Mary.
She didn't fucking need one.
Fuck.
Yes. As someone who has like a girth inspired nickname, I think that I would stick with my nickname and not Stagecoach. Personally, mine is Casquatch. I think we've talked about it, but yeah, as a girthular inspired. But yeah, Stagecoach Mary. So when Mary was almost 70, her best friend in the whole wide world, Mother Amadeus, was moved to a convent in Alaska. And Mary could not follow.
Okay, thank God. Not thank God. I was just like, this 70-year-old bitch is going to fight a grizzly bear in Alaska.
Yes, fuck yes. Literally. So she decided, Mary decided to retire.
Yeah.
The people of Cascade adored Mary. So much so, they would close the school to honor her birthday twice a year. Yep.
On her birthday and her half birthday.
Yeah, there you go. She didn't know her birthday. Well, these days. Well, there we go.
Yeah.
But she had two of them. She was also the local baseball mascot / like dugout mom.
Love that.
She gave flowers to the boys who scored or hit home runs. And she notably would punch anyone in the face if they were caught talking shit about the team. Quite literally. Over some kiddos. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So after her retirement, she made ends meet by doing laundry in her home for locals.
Sure.
Still at the age of 70 plus, she was known to aggressively collect overdue payments. One guy who owed her $2 just happened to cross paths with Mary at a saloon.
I love that she's in like her 70s and still hanging out at the bar.
Bro, she's there all the time.
Because we all know one.
Absolutely.
But she's not a there. Stagecoach Mary type.
If they're open, she's there.
Yeah.
You know?
We all know them.
Yeah. So she walked out after the guy, punched him in the mouth, came back in, sat down and said, his laundry bill is paid.
She knocked him the fuck out, went through his pockets, and then went back inside.
Rounds on me. Here you go.
Oh my God, that's amazing.
Along with laundering, Mary tried her hand at opening a few different eateries, mm-hmm. but both attempts ended up in bankruptcy. If a person was in need, Mary offered them food, and she extended credit to many locals for far too long. And in one instance, she fed some sheep herders mm-hmm. for an entire winter, and they promised to repay her in the summer when they were working again.
Right.
Like, she just took care of everyone. Twice it cost Mary everything, but the people loved her. When her house burnt down, the locals got together and built her a new one. Wow. When her friend, former restaurant and hotel owner, Kirk Huntley, he owned the New Cascade Hotel where Mary stayed sometimes. Mm-hmm. In 1910, he sold it to R.B. Glover. And part of the contract was that Huntley stipulated that Mary Fields would be given all of her meals at the hotel free of charge for the remainder of her life.
Nice.
Yeah. Mary also, she babysat a bunch of the local kids. And at one time, she had the most children, like, in rotation. She charged $1.50 per hour for her services. But like the grandma that she was at heart, she spent nearly all of that buying candy, small trinkets, and the treats for the kids.
That's adorable.
Yeah. It's
like Gordon Ramsay with adults versus Gordon Ramsay with fucking children.
Literally. Yes, yes. Very good. In an insane turn of events, there was a boy that was occasionally babysat by Mary that was from Dearborn, Minnesota, when he would come and visit family. Mm-hmm. His name was Gary Cooper. Like the actor, yeah. Gary Cooper.
Holy shit.
Uh-huh. As an adult, Cooper rose to international fame as a Hollywood actor.
Yeah.
And he never forgot Stagecoach. In 1959, he wrote a fond remembrance of her that was published in Ebony magazine.
Wow.
Yeah. Like, he just talked about how wonderful she was and, like, all the good things that she did and just, you know, how his heart was affected.
That's crazy.
So in 1914, Mary's spidey senses go off and she knew that the end was near.
Uh-oh.
Mm-hmm. So to not be a burden on the community that absolutely adored her, in the middle of the night, she got up, got dressed, walked out into
the middle of some tall weeds and laid down.
Okay.
Yep.
And then just laid and down. Just died out in the field?
Laid or? Down in some weeds. The next morning, some kids were playing and they found Mary super alive and just chilling. Like, she was a little cold.
Yeah. But,
so some community members were like, Mary, this won't do.
Yeah.
And she was like, just leave me. Just leave me here. It's fine. So they take her to the local hospital.
Oh my God.
She was
extra bitch.
I know. She was there for a few days when she finally did pass away due to liver failure.
Yeah, from all the fucking drinking.
At 82 years old.
Damn.
And she was buried in a local cemetery near Cascade. But this woman, like, I want to be strong like Mary. She was enduring and endearing at the same time.
Yeah.
I really love the celebration of women who display strength, and it's not taken as aggressive or like someone who is just generally strong. Like, they have a strong personality, a strong mm-hmm. presence, physically strong, like, to be found not intimidating.
I'm sure plenty found her intimidating.
For sure, but the but celebrated local people for it. Yeah. And like the children, like, regardless of, because like the kids fucking saw what she was doing, like, yeah. It's in the town, you sure, know what I mean? Yeah. They see her kicking ass and I, you know, doing all this,
yeah,
but they still love her, like, yeah. It's yeah. not, I don't know.
No, I hear you.
I think that strength in women is often downplayed, or it's seen as aggressive,
yeah.
or nagging,
or combative.
Instead of combative. That's great. Yes. And it's just like, guys are yeah. allowed to be strong. Like, mm-hmm. you can be strong, and like, it's sometimes expected by yeah. some people.
Ladies are allowed to be strong. They're just not allowed to be stronger than me, because then it makes me feel weak, and I don't like how that makes me feel. So
exactly.
I'm going to limit
and
you,
I don't like it.
So I feel better about myself.
Exactly. And Mary was a shining example of fuck that.
If what is it? If you see me in a fight with a bear, get help. For the bear.
For the bear. Help the bear. Because that bitch gonna need it.
Yes. Oh, that's what the sound was. Yeah.
Yes, yes, yes.
But that's what I have about the life of Stagecoach
wow.
Mary.
Wow. Yeah. Fucking A, dude.
What a badass.
I remember, like, I think there was a dollop about Stagecoach Mary.
Yes.
But it was like,
they're one of my
400 something episodes ago, so I didn't really remember.
135. Dollop yeah. episode 135, which will be in episode resources on our link tree at GTS_podcast. Nice. Thanks. Oh my gosh. All right. So.
Wow. Yeah. What a life.
What a life.
Crazy.
Couldn't be. Couldn't be me. I would have given up. Couldn't have been me. Couldn't. So, for Get That Shit.
Yes, Get That Shit. Yes.
I have for you a gift. It was given to me as a gift, and I have to shout out the owner of the company, or the company itself. Waffle Stash. Waffle Stash is a pet apron company.
Gotcha.
Katie gave us a gift for our cats because people who are out there who are cat owners, you know that sometimes you can try your hardest to make them not do something, but they're going to do it anyway. And I don't know what has been up Mick's crawl lately, because he has never gotten on counters before.
Mm-hmm.
He is getting on counters in our new space. And he likes to sit next to the coffee pot because it's warm.
Mm-hmm.
So Katie got him a little barista, little apron.
Yeah.
And it has been so much fun playing with them. William also got it too.
Mick loves it.
Mick hates it. But I mean, at this point, like, this is Dance Moms time. Like, I don't make it perform in front of people. I just keep it right for myself, you know, it's in-house type of stuff. But the owner of Waffle Stash, they started this during the COVID-19 pandemic, quit their 9-to-5 job, and decided to pursue their passions. They have all different styles of little pet aprons. They are absolutely adorable. I will put up the pictures of Mick and William and Mitzi and Murphy. We had mini cat models. So you can see it on many different colors and types, body types of cats. And I remember dogs too. Mm-hmm. So get over to Waffle Stash on Etsy or wafflestash.com for your pet apron.
Nice.
So cute. I can't wait for you guys to see the freaking pictures. Ugh. Oh, we had a whole photo session.
Mm-hmm.
Well, Samuel, I think that's all we got.
I was going to say.
Okay, please talk about it.
So
I highlighted it.
Yes. So we'll put up the information on Instagram and stuff. But at the end of the month is Trans Visibility Day and a cause that GTS supports and contributed to last year.
Yeah.
There's a couple content creators. One of them is Mercury Stardust, also known as the Trans Handy Ma'am, alongside Alluring Skull. For the past couple years, have done like a streamathon in order to raise money for trans care. 2 years ago, when they did it, they raised over $500,000.
Yeah.
Last year, the goal was to raise $1 million, mm-hmm. which they did. Mm-hmm. And I think in like the first like 10 hours of their 30-hour stream,
something like that.
So then they upped their goal to shoot for, and they surpassed it by a little bit and raised over $2 million for trans healthcare. This year, they're breaking it up into over the weekend, in 3 10-hour streams, but you can donate at any point in time from like now until the end. Obviously you can always donate to a cause after events over, but, the goal is to raise $4 million this year.
Wow.
Which is really important because in the past year alone, in the United States, there have been over 100 anti-trans laws passed on the books. So.
Christ. Very important.
So it's a very important cause. If you can donate, cool. If not, you know, look up, you know, the information and share the information. If you have the ability, turn the stream on and leave it on mute, you know, just so
That last year,
so you know, the more people interacting with it, the more it's going to pop up on other people's, you know, algorithms and timelines and stuff to help get awareness out there. But I think it's a really important cause. Even if you aren't, if your heart isn't specially aligned with the trans healthcare or just the issue around trans people in this country, understand that there are people who are discriminating against other people in this country, and that's not okay. And if they're allowed to get away with it, they're not going to stop at trans people.
Yeah.
They're just the easiest to marginalize currently at this point in time, but they're going to start.
If it's one, it's all.
Exactly. The type of people who discriminate. Like, yeah. The type of people who discriminate go for anyone they consider lesser or easier to exploit or keep under thumb. So trans issues and trans rights affect all of us.
Yes.
Even if you don't think it's as important as other causes. Like,
yeah. It still affects everyone. Exactly. In the end.
So, it does. Look it up. We'll post stuff, but Mercury Stardust is a good follow anyway. So
Great follow. Good plug, Samuel. We'll put all that information out. Well, while you are shopping for that little barista in your life, or you're donating to many significant causes all around, make sure that we're in your earballs. You can find us on all the different streaming platforms, including Podbean, Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and the like. Make sure you stop by our Instagram at GTS_podcast. And while you're there, please make sure you like, follow, subscribe, so we can continue to grow our shit. Check out our link tree to find our episode, resources, website, and more. Give us a holler if you have a small business you want to hype or a topic you don't want to do homework on. I was just sent one that I was like, ooh, dis next. So thank you very much. I appreciate you. You know who you are, and I'll shout you out. But send all of your ideas to getthisshitpodcast@gmail.com. Spell that shit out. That's all I got.
That's all I got.
All right, cool. Well, good talking to you.
Yep.
Haven't seen you in 30 minutes.
I guess. A total of 30 minutes.
All right. Well, be good, or be good to yourself at least.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't care. Be bad.
Do it. I was going to say that what I always heard was, if you can't be good at it.
What does Ted Laszlo say? You do whatever you like.
Live.
All right. Well, love and light it on fire.
All right. Love you guys.
I just waved at the microphone. All right. Bye.
This is not a visual medium. Can't wave at shit.
I wear an extra large.
Jesus Christ, just take us out.